HarperCollins and Harper Audio presents The Earl and the Pharaoh, From the Real Downton Abbey to the Discovery of Tutankhamun by the Countess of Carnarvon. This is the author. A note before we begin. For a map of the East Valley of the Kings, a family tree and more, don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to harpercollins.com/pages/ The Earl and the Pharaoh. Preface. This is a book about a man whose life and death became front page news throughout the world between the autumn of 1922 and the spring of 1923, when, with his colleague Howard Carter, he discovered the tomb of Tutankhamun, and then, shortly afterwards, died. The media circus that accompanied the opening of the tomb latched on to the glint of gold, the extraordinary treasures, and, of course, the superstitious world of ancient Egypt. The backstory of hard work, the acquisition of experience and knowledge in an inhospitable climate, was overlooked in a welter of excited prose. Carnarvon did not seek the world of celebrity. Born to a position of great responsibility, the eldest son of one of the preeminent Victorian statesmen, Carnarvon had a restless and inquiring mind that was held back by a lifetime of illness and injury. An avid racegoer and horse breeder, he was also involved in both the worlds of aviation and of automobiles in their earliest days. His health, compromised by a serious car accident, he then discovered the joys and frustrations of excavating an ancient civilization when he spent winters in Egypt for the benefit of his health. Working from source where possible, this book has been a different journey, far richer and more diverse than I expected when I set out. From contemporaries, from his family, from his own records, and from snippets and archives, throwing up shafts of light, it has been a journey of discovery about a different man from the one I thought I would find. To quote his beloved sister Winifred, it is a story that opens like Aladdin's cave and ends like the Greek myth of Nemesis, and cannot fail to capture the imagination of all men and women. Chapter 1. In Memoriam, 26th of December, 1874. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach, when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. Lord Carnarvon had just requested the footman Williams to bring a further screen into the sitting room to make sure his wife, Evelyn, would not suffer from the slightest draught, given it was so intensely cold outside. He was fussing gently, but the fire was well built up, and Lady Carnarvon was trying to find a comfortable position in which to sit, expecting her fourth child in just 2 or 3 weeks. Lord Carnarvon had removed his wife from Highclere Castle to their house at 16 Bruton Street, Mayfair, London, well before her lying in, desiring to be near all the best doctors, and he had engaged Sir William Gull and Dr. Farr to be in attendance. It had been such a sad and melancholy Christmas. Poor Mrs. Laverick, Highclere Castle's housekeeper, had left on Christmas Eve to stay a few days with her mother, but there had been a dreadful railway accident near Oxford. About 30 people died, and at least 70 were injured. Carnarvon had sent David Thomas, the butler from Highclere, up to Oxford to find out what news there was, and, as it emerged, to identify Mrs. Laverick's body. It seemed that a pneumatic tyre had failed, and one railway carriage pulled the others down an embankment into the freezing snowy fields.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?